house. You have blessed us beyond measure. And as we go into this Thanksgiving season, dear God, we've got so much to be thankful for,
yes,
Lord.
Yes.
We couldn't stand here all day long and praise you and thank you and it be enough. But we just want to say thank you, dear
Amen.
God. And you've just told us in your word to give back a portion of what you've blessed us with. So that's what we want to do this morning. And we ask that you would bless it, that others could be blessed as well. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Fast, but I ain't that fast.
Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see.
satisfied with just a cottage pillow, a little silver, and a little gold. But in that city where the ransom will shine bright, I want a gold one, that silver one.
I've got a mansion just over the hilltop in the bright land where we'll never grow old. And someday, darling, we'll never wander upon the streets that are pure as gold.
Don't think me poor or deserted or lonely. I'm not discouraged. I'm heaven bound. I'm just a pilgrim in search of a
we got a little treat this morning. I need Miss Joy and Mr. Frank Cranfield to come up here and sit in the front row right here. Come on. That's all right. I don't care how long it takes. That'll be all right. They got an anniversary coming up this Wednesday. 65 years. Amen. And I hope and pray that Meredith can cook just as good as Joy when we get that age. Because I've eaten her cooking a lot. She started spoiling me when I was in seventh grade. She was cooking at the middle school. And she'd say, "Come here." She'd throw me two or three extra of them hot rolls she used to make. Mercy days. Well, I'm going to sing a song for you. For your anniversary. All right? And I got me a band here to help me out. They're special to me. They really are. They've done a lot for me and my boys. And I appreciate you. And I love you.
Are we ready? Yeah, we're ready.
If I survey all the good things that comes to me from above, if I count all the blessings from the storehouse of love, I'd simply ask for this favor of him beyond mortal kin. And I'm sure he would grant it again and again. I want to stroll over heaven with you some glad day, when all the troubles and heartaches are truly vanished away.
will enjoy all the beauties where all things are new. I want to stroll over heaven with you. So many places of beauty we long to see here below, but time and treasures have kept us from making plans, as you know. Come the morning of rapture, together we'll stand anew, and I'll stroll over heaven with you. And we'll renew old acquaintance with the friends we once knew. Then we'll see all our loved ones, and we'll see Jesus too. That will be a glad reunion. Then there'll be much to view while I stroll over heaven with you. I want to stroll over heaven with you some glad day, when all the troubles and heartache are truly vanished away. We'll enjoy stroll over heaven with you. Then we'll enjoy all the beauties where all things are new. I want to stroll over heaven with you.
The only thing the kids wanted to know was how you are going to eat all them Hershey Kisses.
Morning. Don't we have some talented young people?
Yeah.
Amen. If you got your Bibles with you, we'll go to Psalm chapter 30. Psalm chapter 30. we'll begin with verse 1, and just like to say, this is the season we're getting ready to celebrate Thanksgiving, so that's where what we're going to talk about this morning is Thanksgiving, and this is a good one, a good scripture to use for that. Psalm chapter 30, verse 1 says, "I will extol thee, O Lord, for thou hast lifted me up, and hast not made my foes to rejoice over me. O Lord my God, I cried unto thee, and thou hast healed me. O Lord, thou hast brought up my soul from the grave. Thou hast kept me alive, that I should not go down to the pit. Sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. For his anger endureth but a moment. In his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. And in my prosperity I said, I shall never be moved. Lord, by thy favor thou hast made my mountain to stand strong. Thou didst hide thy face, and I was troubled. I cried to thee, O Lord, and unto the Lord I made supplication. What profit is there in my blood when I go down to the pit? Shall the dust praise thee? Shall it declare thy truth? Hear, O Lord, and have mercy upon me. Lord, be thou my helper. Thou hast turned for me my mourning into dancing. Thou hast put off my sackcloth and girded me with gladness, to the end that my glory may sing praise to thee and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give thanks unto thee forever." So that is David. That is David pouring his heart out to God. And you can see why God really took to David. You can see why God cared for David, because David cared a lot about God. David was all about letting God know how much he appreciated him. David was not without his struggles. He faced persecution in war. He faced persecution from King Saul. He faced a lot of things. He faced Goliath in his youth. He faced lions and bears and other animals. And so he faced a lot, but he had a great fall. You know, he went through those times where he disobeyed God, and he had a great fall and was rebuked by God. But he was always willing to give thanks unto God. He was always willing to give praise. I love reading the Psalms because I love to hear David talk about, he's very honest in the Psalms. He talks about, you know, why do the heathen rage? And why do these bad things happen to good people? Why are we persecuted? Why do we go through all these things? And he asked a lot of questions in the Psalms. He asked God a lot of things about why it is that the world is so hard a lot of times. He weeps a lot. There's a lot of mourning in David. But he never fails to praise God. He never fails to give God the glory for everything that he has done. And I like that verse. I like this chapter in Psalm chapter 30, where he talks about thanking the Lord. A couple things that come to mind is, I love verse 5. "For his anger endureth but a moment, in his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning." Isn't that is a good reminder that no matter what we go through, when we're going through the darkest time, you know, there's a song that goes, "The darkest hour is just before dawn." But we know that with God, things that are dark, things that are turbulent in our life, things that seem hopeless in our life, when you have God in the center of your life, it will soon turn to joy. And so, as Christians, we have a lot to be thankful for. Thinking about what we observe of Thanksgiving, you know, automatically our minds go to the Pilgrims, our minds go to Plymouth Rock, where they gathered and, you know, they gathered for and gave thanksgiving for the harvest and those types of things. But not a lot of people realize that it wasn't celebrated uniformly. It wasn't celebrated all on the same day for a long time. And when they made it the last Thursday of November was in 1863. And it was President Abraham Lincoln who said that we ought to have a national day of thanksgiving, a day of unity where we can give thanks to God. And so in 1863, he gave the proclamation that Thanksgiving would be on the last Thursday of November. And so I wanted to read a little bit about what he wrote in his proclamation. It says this about the blessings. He starts out by talking about the blessings that America has in their harvest and in their life. And he says this, it says, "No human counsel hath devised, nor any mortal hand worked out these great things." Now, we have a problem today with giving credit where credit is not due, okay? We have a problem in this country and around the world of giving credit to people. And Abraham Lincoln made sure that he wasn't going to give credit to people. In his proclamation, he said, "No human counsel hath devised, nor hath any mortal hand worked out these great things." You see, they understood something back then that a lot of us forget, is that all good things come from God. Now, this was the leader of the country saying those things. How refreshing it must have been to know that our leader was acknowledging the presence of God, and more people at that time acknowledged the blessings that weren't from people, but they were from God. And he said, "They are the gracious gifts of the Most High God, who, while dealing with us in his anger for our sins, hath nevertheless remembered mercy." And he goes on to say, "It has seemed to me fit and proper that they should be solemnly, reverently, and gratefully acknowledged as with one heart and one voice by the whole American people." So that was his proclamation, that we as a people should solemnly, reverently, and gratefully acknowledge with one heart and with one voice God's blessings on us, on our country, on our life. Now, this was given in 1863. What is so striking about issuing Thanksgiving in 1863? Right in smack dab of the middle of the Civil War. You talk about, you try to measure the darkest times in American history, you automatically go straight to the Civil War, because after all, we were fighting each other. You know, a lot of times we've gone through wars, it's a lot easier to shoot at the British regulars. It was a lot easier, you know, when you're facing a foreign enemy. But when you're looking across and you're seeing a neighbor, or you're seeing a brother, you talk about hard times that our country was in. We were fighting each other. We were killing each other. We were burning each other's houses. We were raiding each other's farms. We were imprisoning neighbors. We were doing all of these things. We were in the middle of a dark, dark struggle. And in 1863, there was no vision that everything would turn out the way that it did. There was no vision that things would turn out the way that they ended up turning out. And so what we have is we have a very dark time for our country. But they decided to give thanks for God in that dark time. And that's so striking to me that we do that. We know that, going back to the Psalm, what David said, he said, you know, weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. I want to go to Matthew chapter 26, verse 26. You don't have to go there, it's very short. Matthew chapter 26, verse 26, it says, "And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body.' And he took the cup and he gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, 'Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins.'" Now, we recognize that verse as part of the Last Supper. That's when Jesus Christ, the night before, or later that same night, getting arrested. And so, while they were gathered, knowing what was to become of Christ, knowing the sacrifice that he was going to have to make, it was one of the darkest times that they had known in the life of Christ and his disciples. One of the darkest times. And yet, as he drank the wine, as he took the wine and blessed it, it said he gave thanks to them. Or he gave thanks and gave it to them. Now, we know that they always bless their meals. We know that he gave thanks for the meals. But this one was a little bit different. He was giving thanks for the sacrifice that was going to be made. He was giving thanks because he knew that salvation was going to come to his people. And it was going to come through him. And so what we have another time, what is so striking about this is that it's in another dark time that someone was giving God thanks for things when it seemingly seemed like all hope was lost. And so, the theme kind of today is praising God in hard times. A lot of times, when do we feel God's presence the most? When we're going through our struggles. When do we reach out to God the most? When we're going through our struggles. Sometimes when life is sailing along and everything's going great, it's kind of hard to think about God in those times. When everything's going great, smooth sailing, smooth seas, everything is, you know, things are just, are going wonderful. It's hard to appreciate. And we take for granted what God has done for us. But when things begin to fall apart, when the storms begin to rise, when the storm clouds begin to appear, that's when we get close and that's when we cry out to God. And that's when he hears our cry. Praising God in the hard times and giving him thanks when things aren't going great. We have these hard times every day. We go through hard times as a country. We go through hard times as in the world. We go through hard times in communities. We go through hard times in families. But sometimes we go through hard times just by ourselves. And in all of those hard times, we have one that we can call to and that we can cry out to and that we can thank him for what he's done. So praising God in the hard times. One of my favorite songs is called Praise You in This Storm. A lot of you all know it. And I want to read some of the lyrics to that. It says this. Starts out by saying, I was sure by now, God, you would have reached down and wiped our tears away. Stepped in and saved the day. But once again, I say amen, and it's still raining. What's he saying? I thought by now that you would have showed up and taken these hard times away. I thought by now you would have healing would have taken place when we really needed it. But he says, but once again I say amen. Or in other words, I finished my prayer and it's still raining. I finished my prayer and I'm still in the middle of the storm. I finished crying out to you and it's still kind of hopeless at this time because everything hasn't been made right. So, I say amen, and it's still raining. But as the thunder rolls, I barely hear you whisper through the rain, I'm with you. It reminds me of the scripture. It reminds me of the scripture where the prophet is there and the hurricane goes by. And it says, but God was not in the hurricane. And it says, a great wind went by and God was not in the wind. But then it said, a still small voice. And that was God speaking to us. Jesus was facing a storm. Jesus was in the garden weeping, saying to God, if it be your will, or let this cup pass from me, but if it be your will, let me drink it. And so he was weeping. He was in the storm. And as he said amen in the garden, it was still raining. But it goes through and it says, and as your mercy falls, I raise my hands and praise the God who gives and takes away. And I will praise you in this storm, and I will lift my hands. You are who you are, no matter where I am. And every tear I cry, you hold in your hands. And though my heart is torn, I will praise you in this storm. It's so hard to do. It's so hard to do. But as a Christian, you don't start out with this kind of feeling. But the more you get to know God, the closer you get to God, the more you pour your heart out to Him, the more you rely on God's Word in your life, the more you hit your knees and pray, the more you come to church and ask your brothers and sisters to pray for you, the more you come up to this altar and hit your knees and pour your heart out to God, the more you realize that He is there. The more you feel His presence, the more you know that He is there through the hard times, the clearer you will hear His voice. And you too will be able to lift your hands in those times. You too will be able to go through and be sustained through the death of family, through the death of friends, through sickness, through marital problems, through financial problems, through all that comes our way. Nobody escapes these things. They hit every one of us. But when they hit you, are you holding on to something? Do you have an anchor to hold on to when the winds of life come and they blow? You've probably seen winds strong enough in your yard that blow things away. You have to go out and get your chairs or something, bring them in, because they aren't anchored and they blow. Do you have something to hold on to that when life gets really dark, when the night gets really dark, when you say amen and it's still raining out, do you have that to hold on to, that where you can raise your hand and say, I give you praise in this because you're worthy. You're worthy of my thanks. You're worthy. I don't understand why things are going the way they're going, but I understand that you're in control. Amen. I don't understand what tomorrow holds, but I know that you hold tomorrow. I don't understand. Why is this happening to me? But as the thunder rolls, I barely hear you whisper through the rain, I'm with you. And as your mercy falls, I raise my hands and praise the God who gives and takes away. Do you have that relationship with Christ? Have you gotten there? Have you gotten there? As we go to Thanksgiving this week, if you can't think of anything else to be thankful for, be thankful for the Lamb. Be thankful for the Lamb. I was thinking about Abraham and Isaac. And when God told Abraham, take your son and offer him as a sacrifice. And when Isaac looked at his father and said, we got the wood, we got the altar built, but where is the lamb? What did Abraham say? God will provide a lamb. But he was spared. How thankful do you think Abraham was during that sacrifice? How thankful do you think he was to see the ram that was in the thicket and was right there? It said he lifted up his eyes and he saw it. How thankful do you think? Do you think that from then on out, sacrifices to God meant a little bit more to Abraham? Once he realized what was taking place, once he realized that these sacrifices were for us, once he realized that he didn't have to give up his son because God gave up his son, God gave up his sacrifice so that we could have it. Don't you think that Abraham, from then on out, viewed sacrifice in a whole different light? I think he did. I think he was thankful that it wasn't his son that had to be there. He was thankful for the lamb. He was thankful for the sacrifice that was there. I go back to Passover, and I think about how God told Moses to tell the children of Israel that the death angel would pass over, but that they had an option. Aren't you glad that God says, you have an option? Death is inevitable, but you have an option. And that if they would sacrifice that lamb and prepare it and take the blood of that sacrifice and put it on the doorpost, that when the death angel came, it would pass over the children of Israel, pass over the firstborn son of those who had applied the blood. Don't you think that the next day, those parents were thankful for the lamb? Don't you think they clutched their children a little bit tighter the next morning? Don't you think that when they did the Passover from then on, that they thought of it a little differently? They were thankful for the lamb. How about the disciples? After Christ had given his life, after he had come back, and they were gathered for the first communion, gathered with each other to take communion for the first time after the death and resurrection of Christ. Don't you think they viewed that a little bit differently than they did before? Don't you think they were thankful for the Lamb that saved them? They were thankful for that sacrifice that was there. Now listen, we have a lot to be thankful for. We have a lot. You know, the song, Count Your Blessings. All you have to do is look around and you can find people who don't have the things that you have. If we just look, we can find people who are going through things that we haven't gone through, that are dealing with things that we haven't dealt with. And we can look and we can look to the source for that and to thank God for those blessings. But if nothing else, we should be thankful for the Lamb. David, when he talked in that psalm, he ended it by saying this: to the end that my glory may sing praise to thee and not be silent, O Lord my God, I will give thanks unto thee forever. David had a forever because of Jesus Christ. David had a forever because of God and his sacrifice that was given. If you even look at Psalm 23, he talks about how the Lord leads us through life. And yeah, we go through the valley of the shadow of death. But where does it end up? At the feast, where his cup runneth over, and his head is anointed with oil, and he dwells in the house of the Lord forever and ever. We have a happy ending. Those who know Christ, those who are thankful for the Lamb, we have a happy ending, that we know that everything will turn out right. For that, we should be very, very thankful. For that, we should be very thankful that we have, that we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You know, through the Civil War, they gave thanks And out of that war came freedom for people. And after Christ's death and resurrection, after that came freedom for us. And after the Passover, after that dark time in the Passover and time in the wilderness, there came freedom to the Israelites. We have freedom in Christ. We have a lot to be thankful for. We have a lot to be thankful for. And freedom comes after sacrifice. We're going to give an invitation. I asked Chris if he would sing this. He said he could. And he's going to sing it, Praise You in This Storm, for the invitation. I know it's not a traditional invitation song, but God is in it. God is in it. His Spirit is in it. And if you have a need, if you're going through a storm, or if you just simply have a need, any other need, or you just simply want to thank God for all the blessings that He's given you. And if you haven't applied the blood of the Lamb, we ask you to do that this morning so that you can be thankful for life that He gives. So that you can be thankful. We all have a lot to be thankful for, but ultimately, salvation. I mean, without salvation, where would we be? Jesus Christ offered that salvation by giving up His life. First, He lived a sinless life. He lived many years without committing a sin in this world. And then He willingly gave Himself to be the sacrifice, because it was a requirement. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. And He was the only sacrifice that was acceptable. And so that's what He did. And He set us free. And if you don't know freedom this morning, you can know it. You can know it right now. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. As He sings, if you all will stand, the altar's open. We invite you to come and people will pray with you this morning.
I was sure by now, God, You would have reached down and wiped our tears away, stepped in and saved the day. But once again, I say amen, and it's still raining. And as the thunder rolls, I barely hear You whisper through the rain, I'm with You. And as Your mercy falls, I raise my hands and praise the God who gives and takes away. And I'll praise You in this storm, I will lift my hands, for You are who You are, no matter where I am. And every tear You hold in Your hands, You never left my side. And though my heart is torn, I will praise You in this storm. I remember when I stumbled in the wind, You heard my cry to You, You raised me up again. My strength is almost gone, how can I carry on if I can't find You? And as the thunder rolls, I barely hear him. He whispered through the rain, I'm with you. And as your mercy falls, I raise my hands and praise the God who gives and takes away. And I'll praise you in this storm, and I will lift my hands, for you are who you are, no matter where I am. And every tear I've cried, you hold in your hand, you never left my side, and though my heart is torn, I will praise you in this storm. Unto the hills, where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. I lift my eyes unto the hills, where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth.
Play. If you have a need, I want to thank Chris for doing that, buddy. I appreciate you. There's not a whole lot of people that you can come to him that morning and say, hey, can you sing this? And then be able to sing it. And I really appreciate him for that. And we have a lot to be thankful for. We have a lot to be thankful for. And it's not easy to praise him in the storm. Think about the disciples. When they were in the ship and a great storm arose, they were scared to death, Al. Scared to death. See, they hadn't experienced going through a storm like that with Jesus yet. Hadn't experienced it yet. He was below decks. They just hadn't figured it out yet. Takes us a while to figure it out, doesn't it? Doesn't it take us a while to figure out that when things start falling apart, that we need to go find Him? First of all, we need to just be still and know that He is God and go find Him. But I'm telling you, once you figure that out in your life, once you figure that out, once you know where He is, first of all, you got to know where He is.
Yeah. Bless you, buddy.
You got to know He's there. He's available. He always has been there. You got to know that He's there. And then you got to know that there's a way that you can get to Him. But you have to know Him. He has to be in your heart. You have to repent. You have to ask Him to forgive you. You have to ask Him to come in. And from then on out, what did it say? It said He spoke to the winds and they died down. And they were fearful. Because they said, who is this? Who can do this? I've never seen that before in my life. It took him a while. But once he did what he did, once he died and once he rose again, and they knew They knew after that that they could make it through. And they began to become Christ-like. And they began to preach. And they began to be persecuted. And they went to jail. And they got to the point where they would be put in jail and they would praise Him in jail. And they would sing His praises in jail. What was the main difference between the disciples before and the apostles after? Fear had been removed out of their life. Fear was removed because they knew Jesus Christ. And they knew that no matter what happened, that He could be there. The same one that controlled the storm could control what was going on in their life. And then they no longer feared for their life. They knew, as David knew, that they would dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And so what did they do? Did they sit at home and say, "I'm so thankful that I'm saved"? No, they said, "We need to find more and more people and spread the gospel so that when storms come up in their life, they'll know who to turn to." That's what I'm doing this morning. I'm letting you know what He's done for me. I'm letting you know what He does in my life during storms. I've had people close to me pass, and it's hard. But there's nothing harder than going through that without the Lord. Nothing harder than that. And you have a Savior. You have an anchor. You have someone that you can go to. I'm going to ask Him just one more verse. If you don't know that feeling in your life, if you haven't gone to Him, then I ask you to come this morning and turn your life over to Christ as we go.
Let's all thank Him this morning.
Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus.
Bless you out.
Amen.
Amen.
Lord, we're behind on our Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Oh, man, I'm looking forward to it. Turkey football games. That was great.
Bless you. Bless you out.
But He'll be there.
Amen.
Right.
Amen.
He'll be there.
Amen.
Oh, you say, preacher, I should have read so much. You knew better, but you didn't.
Yeah. Bless you out.
And the word says, if you know what to do right, do it now. It's a
sin. Yeah.
Sin.
Bless you.
Yeah. But it looks good, preacher. Yeah. But you know the consequences.
Yeah.
He's able.
Yeah.
He's able. Yes, he's
yeah. able.
That's
yeah. Bless you. Amen. Bless you.
Somebody.
Yeah.
Somebody needs to come.
Yeah. every day, Lord. Oh, I need you in my home, Lord. That name,
don't wait to
Master, Savior, Jesus, like the fragrance after the rain. That name.
Amen. Bless you, Al. Bless you, Al. Bless you.
That needs to come, swallow their pride, and surrender. Would there be one? Let me see your hand in your
ecstasy. Bless you.
Let me see your hand in your ecstasy. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm inviting you to take your life and put it in the hands of the Father of your life.
Bless you.
We're here to help. Yeah. And he's here because the word says he's a present help in the time. Is there one on my right? On my left? I walk up with you. Look down. Thank you.
Yeah. That's right. Bless you, Al. Bless you. Places that you will hear this. Not a lot of places that that will plead with you to give your heart to the Lord. I know that sometimes we get bombarded with people pleading with us to do things. But to plead on behalf of the Lord is, that's, you know, something that we don't see very often. But we need it. We need it. We need someone on our behalf. We need someone reaching out. We're not selling you anything. This is free. And it's salvation. And we'll never apologize for offering salvation. We'll never apologize for invitations. We'll never apologize for inviting. Because that's what God called us to do, and He cares about us. So it's been a good place to be this morning. We pray that you got what you needed. Pray that you come back tonight. Come back to worship God. Come back to praise Him. Come back to thank Him. And before we dismiss, I just want to say this about upcoming Thanksgiving. We're all going to be doing Thanksgiving this week. When you're with your family and friends, have an active Thanksgiving. And I'm not talking about going out and playing football. Be active in your Thanksgiving. If you've never made it a spiritual thing, I know we say we get together with family, we're thankful. We know God knows we're thankful for our family. I know we say a blessing before the meal. But if you've never made it a little bit more spiritual, you'll be glad that you did. Go around and have people say what they're thankful to God for. Put some scripture in it. Sing a song. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. Make it a spiritual Thanksgiving, and you won't be let down by that. And it'll feel good. And you'll feel that, you know, this is what this is about. We know we're thankful, but to actually say it and to make it a spiritual thing is a blessing. Try that this week if you don't normally. Try that and see how God blesses. All right. It's been a good place to be. Come back tonight. I'm going to ask, yes.